been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the midweek edition, the 5/11/22 edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and chartered financial analyst Barry Keit, our CPI expert today. I would say since the time I went to bed last night, there's been five different stock markets. There's been
right?
a bad one, a good
different
one,
directions,
a very
right?
good one, a terrible one. And right now we're on version 5.0 with the Dow up 210 points at 32,326. The S&P is up 20 points. It's holding that 4,000 level. Oh, man, look at it. It's at 4,021. It closed right at 4,000 yesterday, which is a big even number. Let's hope that that can backstop it. The S&P is up 0.5% right now. The NASDAQ, however, is down a little bit. Well, it's flat. I'm going to call it flat. It's at 11,737 as interest rates are going up today after that hotter-than-expected CPI report. The small cap's up 0.8%. Crude oil having a big day, up $5.04 per barrel. After going down yesterday, it's back up to 104.80. The 10-year is hot. Well, now it's pulled back. It was over 3, and now it's at 2.98. So it's all over the place, too, this morning. Gold is hot. It's up 1160. And Bitcoin is not hot at all. It was below 30,000 there for a while. Now it's getting a little bit of a bid. Now it's only down $665 at $31,147. So welcome to the midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual firm. And I've got Barry Keit here, our CPI watcher and our chartered financial analyst. You know, I had a feeling yesterday, Barry, when our president made a speech, you know, the day before the CPI, basically saying it's Russia and it's the pandemic. I figured it was going to come in pretty bad because he obviously was getting out in front of it so that it wouldn't be such a shock, a sticker shock when it actually came in. But the market was pretty buoyant here this morning. Before it opened, it was up about 250 points. And I mean to tell you, Barry, the exact moment, even before the words came out of the mouth of the analyst that I was watching, that CPI report, the market lost all its gains. I mean, just the second, they must have had the computers wired to for a big sell-off if it came in hotter than expected. And all of a sudden, we were up 250, things looking good, and then, bam, it was even. It was flat. And we've been down about 250 since then. Okay, so before we dig into that, I just want to get into yesterday a little bit. I thought yesterday was a pretty constructive day in the market. You know, Monday we had what may have been that final capitulation where everything went, the baby, the bathwater, the baby formula, if you can find it. It all went out the window on Monday when the Dow was down 1,000 points. And then yesterday I saw a lot of buying. You know, I was looking for volume yesterday where there was buying with volume because that means there's some conviction behind it. And I saw the volume with conviction in good areas, okay, quality, QQQ, the SPY, other indexes, etc. the AMDs of the world, some of the more Microsoft, and a lot of those. So I felt pretty good about yesterday. And I said in my final analysis of the market yesterday, it's looking more and more like Monday was that capitulation day, that final capitulation day. And, you know, because at the end of the day, the earnings still look good for the market. And that's my, it's always been my North Star that I look to for guidance. And the earnings look pretty good. Okay, so now we got to get to today. And I want Barry's comments here on the inflation report, which came in at 8.3% year over year. And we were expecting 8.1%. Did you have a chance to pick it apart a little bit?
Yeah, I did, and you know, it's a bit of a mixed bag. Certainly, you know, leaning still on the hot side, right? I mean, you know, anything you look at a year over year number, right? 8.3 is high, certainly historically. The two parts, I think, if you break it apart from the top line number and then the core inflation number. Right. Well, the top line number, you know, actually was up 0.3% month over month in April. You know, March it was up 1.2%. So if you look at it there, right, you've got, you know, at least some improvement, you know, whatever 1 month means, right? But then if you look at our core inflation, right, which is, that's when they strip out, you know, energy and food. Usually when they strip out most of the stuff we have to have. Core inflation rose 0.6% versus in March it rose 0.3. So where, you know, usually, you know, me and you are paying attention to the top line number because that's, you know, that includes food and energy. It's more volatile. This go around, right? The core inflation number was the stickier one or the, and the reason being, right, you had shelter, food, airfares and vehicles. You know, actually, you know, rose fairly significantly. Airfares is an interesting one.
Yeah, they're way up.
Yeah, we'll break those numbers down in the table later. But on the other end, energy, you know, actually was down a bit, which is why that top line number came in, you know, at that 0.3 level. Gasoline was down 6.1%.
But moving back higher now.
But now, yeah, so that's in April, and now we're back in May, and that's reversed course. So it's, yep. You know, it's a bit of a washing machine. I mean, you had used cars, you know, went down. New cars went up, right? I mean, we're just, you know, it's kind of trading six of one and half a dozen of another when you look across the entire report. I mean, I still look at the year-over-year numbers, and, I mean, you look at food, you know, up 9.4% year-over-year. Energy up 30% year-over-year. When you break that apart, gasoline, right, up 43.6% year-over-year. Fuel oil up 80% year-over-year. Electricity up 11% year over year. And don't forget, a lot of electricity is regulated. So those prices are usually pretty sticky to begin with because they're regulated by, you know, there's only so much they can charge. Gas or utility piped gas service is up 22.7% year over year. So there's, used cars are still up 22% year over year. So there's, it's going to take a while for this to wash out, I think. I'm actually interested to seeing if there's a silver lining. I want to see it in the import prices that are coming out. I think it comes out tomorrow, maybe on Friday. But, you know, with the strong dollar, right, that at least we're importing some deflation because we're, you know, our dollar is able to buy more at this point. But we'll see what that looks like here later in the week.
Yep, and tomorrow is the PPI report. And, you know, every pundit I listen to, and I listened to quite a few this morning, I didn't hear one say that there's really any plan out there right now that's going to work other than the only thing that they're throwing at it is raising interest rates, the Fed. There has to be more done than that, or the Fed's going to have to really And that's why you saw that initial shock. I think people afraid that the Fed would have to go even faster. But there, I also heard other pundits, and I agree with this. When we come back, I want to talk about this a little bit. They say it's real easy to fix inflation. What is that? What is that one thing that could really fix it? And we'll talk about that. And I totally agree. And in the meantime, the area that just keeps drifting higher out of control is energy and oil and natural gas, which are all up about 5% today, which is not looking good for the the next CPI report in June. But I want to talk about what Biden said, how what he's going to do, and what I heard several pundits say would fix the problem within a couple of months. So, all right, we'll be right back. This is Bill Gutterson and Barry Kite. Quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. The reason I want to emphasize inflation, and we keep talking about it so much, because really it's the biggest, it's going to be probably the biggest subject when it comes to the elections in November. It's the seems to be one of the biggest issues in our daily lives as we fill up our tanks at the gas station, as we fill up our grocery bags. It's everywhere. There's no getting around inflation. And I agree with some of the pundits I heard this morning. But let's begin with what President Biden said yesterday. And this made me, I went on high alert after his speech because I thought, he's getting out in front of a bad report tomorrow. President Biden said, I want every American to know that I'm taking inflation very seriously, and it's my top domestic priority. The first cause of inflation, he went on to say, is a once-in-a-century pandemic. Not only did it shut down our global economy, it threw supply chains and demand completely out of whack. And this year we have a second cause, Mr. Putin's war in Ukraine. So he's blaming it basically on those two things. And then he went on to propose some solutions that, I don't see them helping anytime soon. Negotiating costs for Medicare and price negotiations, trying to work on the supply chain log jams. Well, he's had a long time to work on those supply chain log jams, and nothing seems to be getting better. He said, I released the oil from our stockpiles. Well, that was 12 days worth of oil, and now we don't have anything in our stockpiles. And he's allowing biofuels and gasoline and driving green investment at the same time as near-record domestic crude production. Well, I'm not hearing that record crude production. I'm hearing that it's still an uphill battle and between the regulations. And, the war on there's got to have to be some unintended consequences when you declare war on fossil fuels. The price is going to go up, and that's what we're seeing. And I saw several pundits this morning say this could all be solved with one thing, and that is it is opening up the spigots in North America of oil, especially diesel is a big problem, Barry, because everything has diesel behind it. You look at the trucks that go in and out of Walmart every day and the trucks that go in and out of Harris Teeter every day and the trucks that go in and out of Lowe's and Home Depot every day.
In our ports? I mean, look at
the ports.
Just sit right there at the gate there. You'll see it. You'll see as many 18-wheelers as you want to.
Yeah, I mean, instead, okay, and I criticized it several months ago when, Russian oil was going offline. Instead of going to Fargo, North Dakota, and the Permian Basin in Texas and telling our good oil people here in America, hey, you know, we're going to make it as easy as possible. We'll get rid of some restrictions right now, but we need to really increase our production here at home. I mean, that's the best weapon that we have against inflation and against some of these countries that don't like us so much. Instead, first they went to Iran, and they saw that Iran was getting so belligerent, and you know, and they decided, oh, there's no making a deal with Iran here. It would look bad. And then they went to Venezuela, okay, which is a rogue country where their oil fields are in shambles. When they should have went to the Permian Basin and Fargo, North Dakota, and Pennsylvania, and Ohio, and Louisiana, and we would probably be out of this mess by now. But I don't see any appetite or any desire to do that. So in the meantime, that's why we are overweight in the energy sector. And I look at the leaders in the market today. I see UNG, which is the natural gas ETF, hitting a new high almost. It's up 6%. I see UCO, which is the crude oil ETF. It's up 8%. I see USO, which is oil itself, out of America. It's up 4.4%. And then I see all of these stocks that we were telling people to buy on the pullbacks here recently. I'm seeing great action in Devon Energy, Valero, and down the line. So I just don't see any hope until they finally admit, you know what, we got to go right to our own lands here in America and increase that oil production. That to me would get us out of this mess.
And he's on a, you know, kind of an inflation tour is what I heard it referred to as this morning, which is really, like you said, to me it's more of a it's certainly the main political issue I think that Republicans can pound and make progress on for the midterms. But the one thing that got me from the speech, I think he mentioned something where, you know, almost like it's out of, you know, a lot of it is out of his, you know, their control, meaning the administration. And, you know, essentially he touted the Fed in terms of, you know, being the ones that can do it, and referenced, you know, his folks that he's nominated to remain in those positions. But, you know, to me, right, I mean, I've heard the Fed say the exact same thing, right, that they can only control so much.
Absolutely.
All they can control is interest rates. And, you know, at some point, right, policy has to, an incentive, right, has to prevail. You can't do, you can't just do monetary policy.
No.
You can't just do fiscal policy. You've got to have a coordinated effort to do it. And I just don't. You know, for whatever reason, right? Because I think it's the issue that, you know, Democrats are going to lose on. You know, but for whatever reason, they just haven't made any progress on it, right?
No, and you look at these four biggest factors on the inflation in this latest report, they're all energy related. I mean, food. The biggest reason food has gone up so much is because transportation, you know, on the railroads and on the trucking. Okay, shelter. Why has shelter gone up so much? Well, I mean, the wood, the lumber, the everything like that.
PVC pipe.
airline fares. Well, I mean, 80% of their direct cost are fuel. So raising interest rates, it's just going to cause more dominoes. I realize they have to do it. But now you're starting to see, I'm seeing the real estate ETFs just getting racked, okay? The REITs, the new home builders, the lenders, and that's going to be the new next shoe to drop, is it's just going to go down the line. When they could go back to the beginning of all of this, which has really been caused by high energy prices, high oil prices, it's a self-inflicted wound. It's like having food in your refrigerator and starving to death, okay? It just makes no sense whatsoever. But it's an ideological thing. And, you know, when you put your ideology over common sense, we're paying the price. All right, when we come back, good and the bad, the ugly. There's actually a lot of good in the market here today that I want to go through. This is Bill Gunnarsson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the Dow has finally settled in a little bit. It's up 268 right now to 32,430, and the NASDAQ is also higher today. But having said that, what have rising interest rates done to the NASDAQ? I saw a stat today in Seeking Alpha. The NASDAQ has lost $7 trillion in market cap in 6 months. So, you know, that's one of the consequences of relying solely on the Fed and monetary policy and raising interest rates. You've lost $7 trillion in market cap in 6 months, which takes us back really to where we were, you know, about the time of the vaccine announcement coming out of COVID. So I think one thing you can continue to build the portfolio on, Barry, rising interest rates. I think that's that, you know, there's not a lot of givens in the market, but that's a given, okay? So one of the ways to construct your portfolio is interest rates are going higher. Well, on the one hand, I mean, we've talked and talked and talked about what impact that's going to have on that higher end of the market. And that's pretty much come to pass. $7 trillion has disappeared from the NASDAQ, which tends to be the higher PE type of stuff. Now, it would be foolish to go back into the high PE type stuff because interest rates are not done going higher. We continue to say that and build that into our portfolios. We also have invested in some ETFs that are inverse interest rates. Inverse interest rates. I suppose, Barry, you could make the argument to use some of these inverse interest rate ETFs in a stock portfolio to hedge yourself and your stocks against rising interest rates. Look at this TBT, okay?
Certainly.
We own TBT.
In our bond portfolio.
Exactly.
Because we're hedging, trying to hedge out interest rate risk.
But I'm considering putting it in some of the stock portfolios because the interest rate risk is not only, impacting the bond market. How much money do you think has disappeared from the bond market, the bond funds? I haven't seen that number yet.
Well, and that's some things that I've read is, you know, what happens, you know, we've seen the sell-off, right, in the equity markets pretty drastically, right? What we haven't really seen is a true, running for the exits, at least at this point, right, in the bond market, certainly not as much in bond funds. If you have something of that nature, which is much bigger market, but a little, you know, much more opaque and a lot less, you've got less price discovery, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not a true exchange. Like, you know, when you're looking at, you know what a price of, you know, Walmart stock is, you can call 10 different bond desks and probably get 10 different prices for Walmart, you know, a Walmart bond, right?
Right. So. But, you know, there has been quite a bit of carnage in that bond market.
Mm-hmm.
If I just looked at the 10-year, okay, so this is like the safest, one of the safest bond funds out there. It is now down, it was, as of last Friday, it was down 11.7%. There's a lot of money in the bond market, and I would say that the average bond fund is down about 10% this year. That's got to equate, I'm going to say, more than that $7 trillion.
Oh, easily.
Easily.
I mean, the bond market is much, much larger I've just kind of been surprised at how orderly, right, the exit has been in some of those bond funds.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the, and that's another area that we have picked on, is the high yield. You would think at some point, I mean, the junk bonds are down about 10 or 11% also this year. We have an inverse junk bond ETF, an SJB. You would think at some point that that high yield market would really start to come unraveled. If they're only going to use monetary policy to fight inflation, which seems to be the case right now. Now, the other thing that seems to be pretty reliable way to build your portfolio is rising energy costs, rising oil prices, rising natural gas prices. You know, every once in a while we'll get a little bit of a respite and it will go down under 100. It did that yesterday. And it's only there for a day or two. And then it starts marching right up again. And it just doesn't seem to be where there's any help. I don't see where there's any relief in sight. Now, if he would have said yesterday, okay, we're going to get every oil guy around the table here today, and we're going to ask them, what will it take for us to get, I know it's not going to happen in a month or 2 months, but if you put the wind at their backs, and if you remove the impediments, whatever those impediments are, to get them back to production and drilling, and we've seen statistics, he says it's record production, but we've seen statistics that it's going the other direction, that it's not increasing, and it needs to increase big time, and then you're throwing interest rates at it, and you're throwing supply of one of the biggest problems that is causing inflation, and that's oil prices. Just like I say, we've got a full refrigerator here in America, and you know, we're acting like, oh, we got to preserve it, or you know, we don't want to speed up climate change. And in the meantime, you've got inflation as an unintended consequence that's a bigger problem right now in my book than the climate change issue. So anyways, it's you pick and choose, you decide. There's consequences for everybody. And right now it seems like the little guy is paying the price with groceries and airline flying, filling his gas tank and this and that. All right, so obviously oil stocks, energy stocks, refining stocks, pipeline stocks. I saw another good story today. Williams, that's one of the biggest pipeline companies in America. He was on Bloomberg yesterday, and he is frustrated. He said, if we would just get the regulators out of our way a little bit, their own Constitution pipeline got killed by regulators, courts, and lawmakers in recent years, as people that are really serious about climate change don't seem to care about the next 10 to 15 years of supplying energy to consumers. So that's where I have the problem, okay? Yes, okay, you're going to declare war on climate change, but you can't just do it overnight and shut down the supplies that we need so badly for the economy to continue to grow and to keep prices down. And that's his problem. He says they don't seem to care about the next 10 or 15 years of supplying energy to consumers. And as a consequence, Barry, what are they using in the Appalachia Basin to heat their homes? Oil instead of natural gas. Okay, so now you're putting more carbon into the air.
Right, you're creating.
If you would open up those natural gas pipelines. So it just, I don't know, we're just not in sync at all. U.S. gas prices surged to fresh new highs with no long-term relief seen. In fact, it broke a record yesterday, $4.37 per gallon, set topping the previous all-time high back in March 8th. The European Union's discussion of pulling back from Russian oil has sent additional shockwaves through an already strained market. EOG upgraded to strong buy at Raymond James. He's 40% upside. What is EOG? It's a gas stock, and it's up 4.62% today. Terra, how about stable coins? How did that work out, where they pegged the coins to the dollar? It's 44 cents on the dollar. There's an absolute panic in the Terra coin, which is an algorithmic stable coin. It's the world's third largest stable coin.
You got to get on that math. They must have had a math issue with that
something
algorithm.
Something, the algorithm's not working. Because it got down to 69 cents yesterday, causing a swath of investors to liquidate their holdings. Got to 40 cents this morning, 40 cents on the dollar. So I don't see where stable coins are the answer. And another
when they're unregulated, you know.
And it's unregulated. Another stock is getting slaughtered today, Coinbase, which, ouch, it's down 23%. That's Kathy Woods, one of her largest holdings is Coinbase. And ARK Funds is now down, well, it's down 2%. Let's just look at the financial one real quickly. That's probably where it's a bigger position. Down 2.3% ARK Funds. Coinbase getting slaughtered today. Okay,
this
we'll be right back.
Anderson.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now, Joe. Well, it seems like the same themes that we started with at the beginning of the year for this year's market are still well intact. We said that rising interest rates will be a big theme in 2022. That means bad news for high PE stocks, and it's bad news for bond funds. We also said that inflation will be a big issue in 2022. It continues to be a big issue. The biggest beneficiary there is obviously it's another huge day for oil and gas, natural gas, pipeline stocks, refiners, etc. Then the third one is global conflict, and that definitely has not quieted down. And in a way, it's having an impact, big impact, on a lot of these other factors that are out there right now. So what stocks are jumping off the page for me today? The first one is TRMD. TRMD is a UK-based company that has ships, a fleet of 75 vessels. And what does it carry? What do those vessels carry? Refined oil products, okay? If you're looking for a key sector in the market right now, shipping liquid natural gas and refined oil, gasoline, is one of the key points in the entire economy right now. TRMD is up 14.8% today. It has a relative strength of 95. It's breaking out. Its forward PE is about 5 or 6, something like that. So TRMD, which is out of the UK.
Favorite stat there is founded in 1889.
Yeah, I'm thinking,
I think they're
going
to be around for a while.
What was the big, they had that big bubble over there, too, the South Seas Shipping Company and over in the UK. It's right up there with tulip bulbs. I wonder if TRMD was around back then.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, I mean, look, we've gone from buying stocks that produce clean electric vehicles to greasy, you know, grimy ships carrying.
Barnacles
hanging off of them, you know, a salty old guy as the captain. They do have autonomous driving, though. You just put it into autopilot, baby, and, you know, you can eat lunch and whatnot. Okay, so TRMD, another one that's jumping off the page for us, we own it. I've warned you about this one, ICL Group, symbol ICL. That's the Israeli fertilizer company. We've talked about the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea has a lot of salt, and it has a lot of bromine and phosphorus for making, fertilizer. ICL Group reported earnings. They absolutely knocked the ball out of the park. We own that, I think, in our emerging growth portfolio. I wanted a small one because I wanted to own some fertilizer stocks in all of our portfolios. And this is the one I chose for the emerging growth portfolio. That stock is up 13.1% today on, three times, almost four times normal volume. As here's their quarter. Sales were up 67%. Earnings were up 327%. So they've got a product that is in high demand and there's a shortage of, and they're in the right place at the right time right now. A lot of natural gas stocks just booming here today. Which one should I choose? We've talked about APA Apache a lot. Let's go for a driller. Here's the words I want to hear again. Let's fire up the drilling rigs across America. Let's pump. Let's get that 9 million barrels a day up to 12 million barrels a day. What's it going to take? Let's put together a plan to get that production up in the U.S. because we're off Russian oil. Okay, takes a lot out of the market, that Russian oil. We've got oil prices continuing to move higher or over $100 a barrel. You got diesel fuel. That's probably the biggest factor right now in a lot of the food inflation, trucking. That's a bad one. I mean, the economy runs on diesel fuel, and these big ships run on diesel fuel too, don't forget.
And transportation services are one of the hottest spots of the CPI this,
trucking big time. I mean,
or Uber,
how'd you like to $2,000 to fill one of these big trucks, diesel trucks? Okay, Borr Drilling, B-O-R-R. We've talked about that one before. It's a little one, $607 million. I see all the drillers are having a big day. Neighbors, Diamond Offshore.
Borr up 13.5%.
13.5% on big volume. This is a $4.51 stock. But it looks like, it looks like Teladoc looked like back in the year 2000 or 2020. This isn't 2020. This is 2022. And it's just like turning, one of these things that you shake up for Christmas and all of the snow. Well, turn it upside down. That's exactly what is happening here in 2022. The stuff that was left behind that nobody had any interest in. It was all about glamour and glitz and stuff that was out there on the future, technology, innovation, change the world type stuff. Well, now it's get the truck to Walmart at a cheaper price to get food prices down. That's one of the big themes in the market. Borr Drilling, I'll make the third one here today, B-O-R-R. Okay, well, we're all out of time. We do have the CPI report in. Tomorrow we're going to get the Producer Price Index, which is a forerunner to next month's CPI index. And I would just say this, with oil prices drifting higher, with gasoline prices drifting higher through the first couple of weeks of May here, something better happen pretty quickly or we're going to get another hot report in June, and that Fed may walk back that, I don't think we need 75 basis points. We got to do something other than, in addition to, the Fed hiking interest rates, because that's going to kill real estate next. All right, if you'd like to talk to us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or get the newsletter. We keep you on top of this stuff on a weekly basis, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.